Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to a special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi and we are bringing you a special broadcast tonight for several reasons. One, of course, this is February the 21st. And for those who are not familiar with that date, well, this marks the date of the assassination of probably, if not the, certainly one of the greatest black men in contemporary times. And we're talking about El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. We also are going to pay tribute to Nina Simone. And before we do that, we're going to give thanks and praises to our Creator because we're always so appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. And tonight on our live line, we're going to have with us Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr. Again, you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation, and this is the special edition. And tonight we're going to talk about several things, including, wow, black veterans. You know, we talk about history. Well, oftentimes we just kind of focus on or hear people talk more about, you know, the kind of historical events or individuals as pertains to entertainment or writing and other things of that nature. Well, we're going to talk tonight about black veterans and some of the historical significance in regards to that. But perhaps more importantly tonight, we're going to focus on what some of the black veterans are going to be doing to make history in the future. Okay, and what we're talking about in that regard is brothers and sisters standing up, fighting back in terms of this government not treating them in the manner that they should have been treated. Now, those of you who are familiar with our program, surely you have heard on numerous occasions, we talk about the situation, the case of Private First Class Lavina Johnson. And what we've done over the past few years is to not only talk about that particular situation, but to really bring more insight into what's really going on the national level as it pertains to the service, some of the people who are servicing or in the so-called service. Of course, you know, it's been said that our people really should not be in there in the first place, but nevertheless, we know that it is happening, and we also know that information needs to be circulated to a greater extent to help especially the younger folks know a little better as to what it is they need to begin to look at and do if they are planning to go into the armed forces. And so with that said, we're going to talk a little more tonight about some of that that has happened, particularly with Private First Class Lavina Johnson. And we're going to talk about the national campaign that is being launched very soon, not just in regards to her, but in regards to many who have been raped and treated not only in an inhumane way, but in some incidences even worse. The situation of Private First Class Lavina Johnson is such a case. But as we said, we have veterans now who are going to come forward. And very soon you're going to hear us talk more about another March on Washington, But this time, black veterans for justice marching on Washington. The fact that homelessness, many of what we call homeless people throughout the country, some of them are veterans or former veterans. We talk about what has happened with them in returning, not just post-traumatic stress syndrome, but sometimes the horrific things that they saw and know have not been able to tell, and as a result have to deal with not only physical disabilities, but also in some cases mental disabilities. Next month, I will be observing my brother's Earth Day. And for those of you who follow our program, then you know a few months back, my brother made transition. And one of the things that I'm committed to doing in remembering him is to move forward with some of the things that he wanted to do and certainly wanted to have known. And one of those things was that many of our black veterans were victims of what is known as Agent Orange, biological warfare element that was placed, dropped on many of our own men as a supposedly result of the United States fighting the enemy in Vietnam and not caring who they put these diabolical chemicals on. Now, we talk about these things today because today we are also seeing some similar kinds of things happen in this country with chemical warfare. And sometimes you might hear somebody say something about push it off. But we know that it happened to our own so-called veterans. So what do you think they'll do to the common everyday citizen? But it's all right, because as long as we fight back, we will win. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about that and some other things as we pay tribute to Malcolm X, El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz, and Nina Simone. Nina Simone was born on this day, February 21st, 1933. We make mention of that for several reasons, because if you're not familiar with the work of Nina Simone, you most certainly should be, especially during the 1950s-1960s era. Now, all this month we have been, of course, focusing on some very historical kinds of things. We always do that here at New Day, needless to say, but we did put some special emphasis this month because we kind of found out some things this month, interestingly enough, that we did not know. Tomorrow we're going to continue part three, our final segment of an afternoon with Dr. Muhammad Ahmed. And with that said, this brother was a protege of El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, and also of Queen Mother Moore. And so we're going to finish tomorrow with our segment with him as we really begin to now go more into Malcolm X while he was here in Philadelphia and, you know, right up until the time of his assassination. We'll talk about that tomorrow with Dr. Muhammad Ahmed, who was, of course, the founder of RAM, which, of course, Malcolm X became a member of. And so we're going to tell you more about that tomorrow as well, and something that was a part of RAM called the Black Guard. And they supplied or provided security for El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. So again, at 4:30 tomorrow, we will talk with Dr. Muhammad Ahmed, and we will go more in depth into his interaction, relationship, and kind of mentoringship, for lack of a better word, to him as a young man, 22 years old, 23 years old, you know, coming up in the struggle, and he is still today actively involved. So, again, tomorrow at 4:30, I'm sorry, no, Sunday at 4:30 we will do a special edition. Tomorrow we do our regular programming tomorrow evening at 10:30, and tomorrow evening we will have Sister Pam Africa joining us. So we will have an update on Mumi Abu-Jamal, in addition to give you a special report on the firing of Dr. Tony Montario here in Philadelphia and what's going on there with the African American Studies Department at Temple University. Okay, what we're going to also talk about tonight, and he should be calling in very soon, we're going to be talking with Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr. And again, he has some information and updates that he wants to provide to us tonight as well. But what we want to do is kind of go to you, because one of the topics that we had for tonight as we talk about and pay salute to El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, did you all see or hear about this Nicki Minaj person that on her latest album she references Malcolm X and as such, you know, talks about him in a way that we feel very strongly about it being just absolutely unacceptable, and that it was definitely disrespectful. I'm going to read just kind of a brief portion of an article that had Malcolm X's daughter talking about, you know, how she and the family feels about it. And we've got to really begin to get some clarity on how we keep letting these people do these things. Now, I did hear that Nicki Minaj has apologized, but the mere fact that these people even have the gall, the audacity to do this. Now, you know, a few months back we had someone, Lil Wayne person, putting out some lyrics on Emmett Till about some nasty, degrading kinds of stuff. Why are these people doing this? Well, no, let me back up. We know why they're doing it. But the point being, why do we keep allowing them to get away with it? Lil Wayne should not be able to go to any city and have a concert
now this Nicki Minaj person that looks like a cartoon character, who looks like someone put her in the lab and just experimented all on her. These are the type of people that we have running out here talking about our people, those who have given their lives for this struggle. And, again, what are we going to do? So I'm going to open up the phone line while we wait for Chairman Fred Hampton, and we'd like to get your opinion about some of this. What do you think we should do, or how do you think we should respond to people like Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne, R. Kelly, and others? If you have a comment that you'd like to make, then please push 1. We're going to open up our mics early tonight because we want to really hear from you. We want to hear about Malcolm X, how Malcolm X has inspired you, or how you keep the legacy of Malcolm X alive today. Also hear more about what do you think about this thing with Nicki Minaj. Now, again, I'm going to read a few excerpts from an article, and I'd like to know what you think. Okay. Nicki Minaj is known for her brash, in-your-face lyrics and devil-may-care attitude, but this time she may have gone too far. At least that's what the daughter of slain civil rights leader Malcolm X wants her to know. According to the New York Daily News, Alicia Shabazz is very offended that Nicki would use the iconic 1964 image of Malcolm X standing at a window holding an M1 carbine for Ebony magazine as her cover art for her new single, Ass Nigger. That's right. I said it. This is what it is. This is what is on her album with Malcolm X. Ms. Minaj's artwork for her single does not depict the truth of Malcolm X's legacy in completing and is completely disrespectful, and in no way is endorsed by my family, Alicia Shabazz told the New York Daily News Friday, 2 days after the controversy. Shabazz, one of the 6 children of Malcolm X and Betty Shabazz, called on parents and educators Friday to teach their children about this country's civil rights history. In doing so, it is important to understand that the image of Malcolm X holding the M1 carbine illustrates self-defense because at the time the leader feared for his life. It was not for the purpose of male bravado or gracious violence. Chris Moore, a historian at the Schomburg Center for Research and Black Culture in Harlem, where much of the civil rights leaders' manuscripts are housed, called Minaj's wrong-headed for her decision to use the historic image. According to the New York Daily News, Harlem community organizer Isha Sekou, who operates student workshops through street corner resources out of Harlem Renaissance High School, was so appalled by the use of the image. She said some students at the school didn't think the imagery and the racial slur were offensive. All the work that Malcolm X did, for her to use this image and the language that she used, it's major disrespect. Okay, we're going to leave it at there, and you now have a general idea as to what we're talking about here and why. We're talking about a very famous rapper known as Nicki Minaj. And family, if you all have ever seen her, and I hope that if you haven't, that you will Google her or check it out. Because, I mean, obviously, this female has some real serious issues and is being used by the mass media to perpetuate and to push some really silly kinds of stuff. And not just silly stuff, but the whole imagery of how she looks is just crazy. I mean, it's really crazy. to the degree where this is why we have young females getting some kind of chemical shot in your behinds in order for their behinds to get bigger or some stuff. Because this, the way that they've done this female, they have her looking like a black version of a Barbie, but from a black woman's kind of, I can't even say a black woman, but anyway, it's outrageous. So I'd like to know what you all think. How should we proceed with this? What should our communities do? What should some of these organizations do and say? So if you have a comment, please push 1. We're going to go to the phone lines now. And let's see, we got a caller at 8521. And we certainly want to know what you got to say. I think this is our sister, Manira. I know she got something to say about this craziness. This is insane. Your mic is open, sis. What you got for us tonight?
Peace, power, and progress. How are you, Queen Empress? How are you?
Peace and power and prosperity to you, my sister.
Personally, we know it's a disgrace to even use our freedom fighter. May our ancestor rest in power, Malcolm X image. You know, it definitely was a low blow. She could have stayed and, I guess, presenting the image of her own self or the coons that she'd be rapping with or whatever, or some other kind of figurine. But as I look at it, I listen to the lyrics of the song, and it's kind of like a subliminal message. And I wanna say that at least she had the decency to apologize as opposed to the Lil Wayne character didn't even offer an apology to the family. At least she was woman enough to step up and apologize for the degradation of El Hajj El Malik Shabazz. But listening to the lyrics, I kind of like got an understanding of what the message that she brought. And it's like she's basically talking about people, the coons in the industry. Particularly the male-hating other coons who are basically hating on her. And, you know, to me, it's like a subliminal message,
right?
Which, like, she could have used it in a whole nother different context instead of using that. But it's just crazy.
But see, sisters,
my opinion is that if you listen to the lyrics, I can kind of like get an understanding where she's coming from, and she's basically sending out a message that she's basically being attacked, like our brother Malcolm. I mean, that image presents him, you know, defending himself against his own people. Which, when he looked at, he was in defense of, you know, the COINTELPRO, the black leaders that came, you know, to seek and devour him and his family. So she kind of like feeling some kind of way with, I guess, the rap industry, you know, the brothers and I guess the hating behind Negroes, which you know, it's like a gender discrimination in every aspect of society with women. Even though we don't approve of her image and all that other stuff, but we understand the message. I understand the message clearly.
See, and I get that, sis. I get that, but these people are so slick. And what I mean by that is, see, you have to realize that someone like you, someone like I, our family listeners, they know about Malcolm X, right? So if some of us were to look at what she's saying, we already have an idea about him. But see, this younger generation, many of them have no idea at all. So when they hear it and then see him, they're connecting not his history, his legacy, or anything like that. It's just another nigga. You see, so what the system has done in a very sophisticated manner, they, just as you would say, well, you can kind of understand, you know, what she's saying. But see, unfortunately, we can't afford to accept in any way, shape, fashion, or form that kind of message or one of our people to be used in that kind of way. We can't allow
it. And my point is that she should have used that freedom of expression to express the qualities and the value and Elhaj Lynch Bass. She shouldn't use his image to promote whatever subliminal message that she is trying to get out there to society or to whatever, you know, the industry people or whatever, you know. Because and it's a message in the music. Even though we don't approve of, you know, some of the shit hop, what should I call it? Some of it, if you listen closely, some of it has a subliminal message, and we just take, you know, what we see things for, just take it as it is. And I just take the lyrics by listening to it. That I can get a full understanding of the message that she's trying to get. And I respect her more because she was a woman enough to step up and apologize to the Shabazz family, whereas we didn't even get an apology.
I know, but I you know what, Sis, on this one I gotta disagree with you. I don't think it's that at all.
I'm just saying it was wrong and she admitted her wrong. You know, she admitted
think she admitted her wrong because she felt she was wrong. I think the pressure and the reality of the backlash, I think that's what, because now I'm going to read some of what these lyrics are that you're talking about. And for me, there's no way that I can see or accept any of this in any kind of way, shape, fashion, or form. And don't get me wrong, and you know, I listen to rap. So the reality is they tried to slip this through. They do these things to see what our responses is going to be. And when they saw that people were getting ready to get really riled up about this, they said, oh, wait a minute, let's pull it. But see, she intended to do exactly what she did. Listen to this. For those of you who don't know what Sister Manera is talking about, let me just read a little bit of this. Some of this I can't read. I'm not going to. Okay. She says, look at all y'all niggas. Look at all y'all niggas. Look at y'all smoking ass niggas. After every pull, niggas start choking ass niggas. Nigga, look at y'all, it with a B, ass niggas. Stop lying your look at y'all looking as nigga. Stop looking at y'all. I mean, it's what she's saying. Okay, then it goes down to the next verse, and it says, I ain't got a check for y'all, but it's my check for y'all. I'm going to need a check for y'all niggas. I ain't want sex. About your ex. I don't want to text y'all niggas. I'm rapping you niggas. This with Malcolm X? You could have got anybody, you know, you could have got something off of TV, some movie or whatever to portray, you know, based on what you're saying, sis, to portray that message. Why would she pick Malcolm X?
Yeah, and that's the issue I have. She could have used her freedom of expression to, I mean, sort of like how Dead Prez, they, you know, they got a song, Malcolm Huey Newton, Malcolm Martin Huey. I mean, you know, like, and also gave the history of them being revolutionary freedom fighters. So she
right.
could have definitely used, you know, that, you know, that airwave to express, you know, a positive message. You know,
right.
So
but I mean, we know that that's not her style. That's not her style. She is
right.
never about portraying or bringing any positive message. So that would have not happened in the first place. But I'm saying there's something real symbolic and satanic going on with them specifically selecting Malcolm X. There's something very deep going on. But sis, stay right there. I'm going to bring in another caller, and let's see what our caller here may want to add to or what the observation that this caller may have. Caller, you're at 9302. What do you think about what we're talking about here? I read some of the lyrics. A lot of it, like I said, I'm not even going to read most of it. Most of it, it's not even written. Some stuff, even when I don't like it, I can at least say, well, they wrote it, and it, you know, it was written well. This right here, it's like, huh? It's like you're a second grader or something. What do you think, sis?
I feel that what the lyrics were nothing, but a seed was planted. A
right.
seed was planted. And those lyrics, if she wanted to send a message about what they're doing to her, why didn't she put one of those Caucasians that she works for on the cover and illustrate him?
But at that point,
she planted a seed. A seed was planted. Whether or not she apologized, it didn't matter. It got out there. And that's what the plan was. They just wanted to plant that seed, and that was it. Thank you for listening.
Yes. Oh, thank you, sister. And let me just read one more one more portion of that. I mean, it's like I got to pick through because it says nothing. Even though I understand what Sister Manir is saying, you know, she wanted to get off on what she think about certain things, but I'm saying this right here is like, I mean, this has no creativity, no talent, no nothing. She says, look at this pic. Look what the I gave you niggas. Ain't feeling these niggas. Niggas want my time. Call me Clinton. I'm billing these niggas. What? I mean, come on. And like I said,
yeah,
there's a whole bunch of people I don't really like, but at least I can say, hey, that
backwards.
Was off the hook.
You'll have to play it backwards to find out what she's really saying.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it is. This is quite satanic and demonic. And that's what they're all about. And if you, when you look at them now, it's like, this is my perception. Maybe it's just my eyes or my television, but they're trying to whiten up all the people of color. Their faces are almost white. And, you know, it's just a demonic message, a satanic message that she's sending, and someone's going to decipher it.
Yeah, see, she's hot. She's really hot right now, and it doesn't matter to her how she's used. I mean, you can look at her and tell. She doesn't care how they use her. As long as she gets her money and whatever else, you know, she's cool with whatever. I mean, she has this blonde hair or some other color hair, you know, that she always has. And then the atomic structure that they gave her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And when you talk to young girls, They see absolutely nothing wrong with that. They don't see anything strange about that. And I'm not talking about just young girls like, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17, of course them. I'm talking about the 25, 28, oh no, too. Okay. I mean, unbelievable.
Am I still on, Empress?
Yes, you're still on.
Yeah, personally, like I was saying from the very beginning, like she should have used whoever she was directing that subliminal message to.
Uh-huh.
She should have just been outright real and maybe put a collage of who she was talking about, because it seemed like it was a whole bunch of Negroes. And we know that we got a whole lot of hating behind Negroes. You know, backstabbers, distorters, and all that. And they deal with that in the music industry as well. You know, we know that it's misogyny and degrading women and all that type of stuff. And women, and Nicki Minaj, even though her image is not acceptable to our people, you know, she is, like you said, she's very popular, and she'd do anything to get to the top, which that's what's happening. But you got a lot of people, a lot of males that's in that industry that despise that, you know, even though she's, you know, misguided, misdirected, and using her freedom of expression in the wrong manner. But she's pointing out some of what, you know, a lot of MC rappers, women, female rappers came before us and pointed out in the music industry, like Queen Latifah and MC Light. And then we got a whole lot of, you know, a lot of Jill Scott, you know, she's being shunned and marginalized and ostracized for what she stands for. So we know all too well that, you know, it's happening. But my whole thing is she just should have just put a collage to whoever she was addressing that to, and she shouldn't have used our freedom fighter, you know, someone who we honor and got the utmost respect for as an, you know, an image for her album, you know.
No,
use
mean,
those coons.
Yeah.
And like sister was saying,
right,
use those white devils, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's much deeper than all of that. This
broad
has never, ever put Malcolm X. She shouldn't even. Oh, my gosh. Just the mere. Yeah, every time I think about this, it's like I just want to do something. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I just want to do something because this is just not acceptable. I mean, okay, I can't even talk about it right now. But
I definitely can relate to.
Oh yeah,
to what you're
feeling. I'm outraged. I guarantee you. Let me stop. Let me back up for a moment because I really am disturbed about what is happening. But this is what I'm going to do. Kim Fred is on our line now. I'm going to take a quick break. And, I just want you all to know, today, if you didn't hear me earlier, is the anniversary day of the assassination of El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. Why did they come out with this thing this past week? You understand what I'm saying? You see, it's not coincidental. These people are literally attempting to bring as much blood, displeasure, whatever. I'm being gracious at the moment with my wording because I really want to say some other stuff, and I don't want to say that right now. But the bottom line is they analyzed this. And, again, when you have these young brothers and sisters who don't know anything about Malcolm X, when they now hear or think about Malcolm X, they think about Nicki Minaj. Okay? And we got to really understand that this is what's going on. So, Sister Mania, this is a little far. This is beyond subliminal, what we hear and understanding. There's something else that's going on with this. So we're going to take a quick break, and,
When we come back, we're going to talk with Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. We're paying tribute tonight, of course, to El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X, but also to Nina Simone, who was born on this day, 1933. We're going to talk more about her and some of the work that she's done or had done in her lifetime and why we have selected Nina Simone as one of our 12 Sister Saints. Sister Gloria, I want to thank you for your comment. Sister Manir, I thank you also for your comment. And again, when we bring Chairman Fred back on, I'm going to come back to you too at some point, because I know he's going to fire this mic up. And the question has got to be, what are we going to do? Really? That's what we've got to really find out. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come right back. Background, none other than Nina Simone, talking about what she ain't got. But rest assured, she also tell you what she does have. And that's what we're going to talk about, what we got. We got each other. We have our ancestors. We have truth. And with that, we have power. Y'all get the picture? She says she don't have no education, she don't have no this and no that, but she got a brain, she got some sense, she got her hair. Y'all understand? All right, y'all get the message. And we've got each other. The things that really matter, we got life. That's right. All right, family, moving right along. With that said, we're going to talk with one of our brothers. And certainly, in the background, Nina Simone. We got light, we got love, we've got our brother sisterhood, we've got a history, a legacy, and we must not let anybody tamper with that, ever, never. At any rate, y'all get the message, y'all get the picture. And moving right along, we're going to go to our live line now, and we're going to talk with our brother, who we love so much, always speaking truth to power, and then some. And we're going to open up the lines back up for you all, too, because we want to hear from you tonight. As we pay our tribute to Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, I want to remind you also tomorrow night we'll have Sister Pam Africa joining us, and then on Sunday, another special edition, an afternoon with Brother Muhammad Ahmed, the founder of RAM, the Black Guard, and just, you know, wonderful brother. But anyway, we're going to talk to another wonderful brother right now. And before we do, I want to remind all of you, we got some debating coming up very soon because, you know, there's some people that got some real kind of dumb stuff that they be talking about. I'm going to give you some insight into that a little later on. Let's go to some real black talk, some real brothers. One of our brothers is with us right now, calling in from the Cali way tonight. Always, you know, wonderful to have him with us. And I'm talking about none other than Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. We're going to open up our mic and talk with our brother tonight. Hey, Chairman Fred, we got you.
Yeah, live and direct, Empress. And as always, Revolutionary Appreciations give us the opportunity to be on the airlines with you. And definitely want to preface our position with long live the legacy of Malcolm X, Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz.
Yes, yes, yes. No doubt, no doubt. Wow. Well, I don't know if you got a chance to hear a little bit about what we were talking about with this Nicki Minaj-y stuff. You know, once again, we talked about Lil Wayne earlier a few months back. We've talked about R. Kelly a few months prior to that. And now here we have this female. And like I said, isn't it interesting that they picked right now to bring this nonsense out? Coincidence?
No, it's far from a coincidence. You dig? It's a conspiracy. So, you know, to continue to attack one way or another, such legacies that of, you know, of Malcolm X and the deal is, you know, although a lot of the pawns in the gang, a lot of the punks and puppets who play a role with this, although they may not know the details of these, you know, saying this protracted attack on our representatives, the string pullers, you know, what I'm saying the Viacom Records, you know, what I'm saying the Sony. You know what I'm saying? These individuals, they know exactly what they're doing. You know, it could be correlated to, like, it was a, like, even I was coming the other day about this guy, Jerry Springer, who was who teaches in Cincinnati and also has this talk show, which, you know what I'm saying, which makes a clown of buffoonery, you know what I'm saying, you know out of people on the show, but somebody made an interview one time with interview about William Shatner, and Jerry Springer was commenting about how he said he remembered during the era of Nazi Germany, his grandmother was telling him how initially before, you know, the actual force into the gas chambers, they was telling him they had a whole propaganda, and they had initiated a propaganda campaign, and they made comedy, they made jokes about the, you know, the soften a blow about their people. And he said, you should, and this is Jerry Springer saying this. He said, you should just let your guards not be cautious on how people can make jokes about your people. I said, now look at this. This Jerry Springer said this. And, you know what I'm saying? And so we must come to grips with the fact that everything is political. And, you know, case after case, attack after attack, I can't tell you how many times, you know, we had to combat liberalism and criminalism, whether it be checking this child slaves, you know, child slaves, he caught a little slave. I mean, literally exposing, you know what I'm saying? We never had a case. We never had to walk up on stage on these punks. And any forces who call themselves progressive, you know, try to get engaged in this liberal campaign where maybe these individuals don't know, so on and so forth. These individuals, they may not articulate certain things, but they have a respect for every other nationality. Again, so, some time ago, we had, you know, all out exposed his criminal, Sean Slade Z. Carter, when he attempted to correlate his legacy to that of Chairman Fred's legacy, being the fact that he was, that this chump, Jay-Z, was born December 4th, 1969, and he attempted to correlate the assassination of Chairman Fred to him. And when we checked, and we should, you know, it brought out, it was, in a way, we called the question, it was even so-called force who called himself progressive. Well, we should just be happy that he's even making mention of him, and, you know what I'm saying, and co-signing and validating these attacks, you know what I'm saying? And you've seen when cats, a lot of cats who don't even define themselves as progressive, a lot of cats, like, it was a case with these guys in these street organizations. They had checked this correctional officer who refers to Officer Roberts, who has literally stole the name of Freeway Ricky Ross. This is he calls him a rapper, Rick Ross. He had tried to take the whole history of different guys who were in the streets, and he made reference to Larry Hoover,
right,
who was leadership with other GDs. And them cats in the streets, they called a question on him. And you've seen this chump, this who was really stole this name, Rick Ross. You've seen them backpedal and say, "Well, I didn't really mean it. I was a gangster," so on and so forth. And I recall even when this chump had one song, and he had some snippets of being the former chairman of the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale, speaking of it. We drove down and checked him in. It was cats who called himself a content tomorrow. Well, you know, maybe we just need to educate this brother. I mean, these chumps is grown. You know what I'm saying? These individuals, these ain't no babies. These criminals, you couldn't pay Jay-Z to make reference to Liar Cohen in his community and say somebody just died in Nazi Germany. You know what I'm saying? They respect every other nationality. When it comes to our people, in every aspect, in every genre, we are continually be treated like the, you know what I'm saying, the Rodney Dangerfields of all races. We got not gonna say we got it. We gonna keep on, regardless who it is. We are not only servants of people, but we are servants of history. We don't care who it is, what their last name is, who cool with it, who tries to, you know, validate this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Who they make a deal with and pay up from these individuals and bring them up on stage. Well, we call them the question. And I tell people, see, you know what I'm saying, myself and the fellow known as the Black Panther Party Cubs, you know what I'm saying, doing with these cats. Man, we call them the question. We don't be stargazing with these cats. We hold them accountable. And you would be surprised at the lack of consciousness, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to black people. You know what I'm saying? I'll tell somebody, I'll say, man, I mean, this joker, this clown they held up at the recent Grammys, for real. I remember a situation in Chicago where this chump tried to find some old, I mean, this an insane logic to me about the whole question of race does not exist no more. We got, you know, we could cut no corners with checking him. And, you know what I'm saying, that's the position people got to have. And we've seen in the 60s, we've seen that was, you know what I'm saying, the Black Power movement of the 60s, I referenced this before. You know, a lot of times people incorrectly assess what happened, you know, how did certain forces, you know, make progressive music. People understood that the dog wagged the tail don't wag the dog. The streets make the music. Music don't make the streets. Movements forced cats to up the ante. James Brown had a whole totally different song planned at first. It was forces such as H.R. Brown, not known as Imam Jamil Al-Amin, and other representatives of the Black Power movement that literally drove down on him and put the pressure on him. And he, you know, he came back out saying, "I'm black and I'm proud." It was a climate that did not allow him to pull what he pulled later on in the 80s in the Rocky movie, wearing a red, white, blue drawers from Living in America. There was a movement that made it conducive for Marvin Gaye to go against Berry Gordy and the Italian gangsters who really ran Motown Records. So I'm going to put this song out, "What's Going On," whether you like it or not. You know, so many war stories. And my mother comrades, Cool and Jerry, former known as Deborah Johnson, I heard, not even from her, other forces told me about, you know, in other capacities in the Black Panther Party, in particular the Finance Committee, when she's rank and file in that organization. Her going 6-7 months, going to talk to Nipsey Russell, the comedian. You know what I'm saying? He made a joke about it later on. He said, "Well, I ain't never donate no money for no guns, but I'll throw an envelope on the door for the free breakfast program." When she went down, when Nina Simone came to Chicago, when she went down there, man, pregnant belly, man, there's a soul. She went down there and said they had the Black Panther Party program tour herself. Richard Pryor talked about when he came into contact with Chairman Fred on New Year's Eve. Movements, it was holding people accountable. I be talking to some of these cats who refer themselves as conscious. They tell me, like, "Well, I don't listen to that. I don't listen to Jay-Z." I said, "Man, a lot of these cats don't be able to these conscious cliques in these little circles. If you talk about you being a servant of people, you gotta have your ear to the ground. And you know, so in our position is we go out there armed with the politics, we go to the pool hall, the barbershops, the man, wherever the masses of people are at. You know, so you got this, you know,
right.
The people, what do people grasp on? Because we don't approach the world as some sort of idealist. We don't say we want the world to be. The deal is government is dropping propaganda bombs on these babies. You 9 o'clock in the morning, get on a conference call, call somebody in Detroit, call Cincinnati, call Chicago, call Oakland, California. You're gonna see the same playlist going down from Two Slave Chains to The Slave to Nicki Minaj and the rest of these punks. They bombarding these babies. 9 o'clock, from 9 in the morning to 9:15, before they go to these schools, before they get bombarded with other stuff about Columbus discovered America and all that other garbage, these children going to be raped, killed, murdered, and beat up from 9 a.m. to 9:15 in the morning on the radio. You know what I'm saying? And these are propaganda bombs dropping on them.
That's right.
Certain crimes do not carry no probation. I repeat, certain crimes don't carry no probation. You see, again, it's not a happenstance that this, you know what I'm saying, this record cover come out. The disrespect to Malcolm, the legacy of Malcolm X, you know what I'm saying, you know, right before the day of his assassination, acknowledging the day of his assassination, is strategic. And we have to call the question.
Well, this is one that I want to say to our sisters. Because I think it's important that our women, I mean, all of our people should be saying something, but particularly I'm saying to our sisters, we need to be writing, calling, doing whatever. Okay, yeah, we know she apologized and all of that. That's not good enough. That is not good enough. You know, we got to do something else to let these young folks know that black women is saying, hell no. I mean, where's the examples? Where can we reference what our response is to that? See, these are the tactics that these people use. They'll put out there, okay, well, we're going to apologize. Or in the case of Lil Wayne, they offered some money to the foundation and to Sharpton. And then everything went all hush-hush again. You see, they don't want the masses of the people to really see or hear opposition. And so we've got to make certain that we make some statements and make those statements heard, publish them. I mean, with all this tweeting going on and with all of this Facebook stuff going on, we need to be blasting it all over the place that black women, African women, are saying, yo, Nikki, what drug are you on? Can we help you or something? Because this, you can't do this.
If I could have this information, and I don't want to sound as a pessimist, but I mean, I'm past the stage in approaching these. It's a fine line between being a victim and a criminal. It's a fine line between, you know what I'm saying, between the victim. And a lot of these individuals, you know what I'm saying, will victimize themselves. We keep, like, these things, it's bad. They are taking a criminal position. And, I mean, I'm not copping no pleas for these criminals. And it must be put in an objective, overall analysis. Again, not just even with the case of her. It must be tied into the music industry. It must be tied into the timing that this individual, Macklemore, that the Source magazine placed this boy, Macklemore, dressed as Detroit Red, dressed in the same clothes and put a contrast of his image next to Malcolm X. And it must be tied into the discussion what's going on in Chicago right now, where they are pushing to change the name of Malcolm X College. We said we already put this stuff in place after 90 days of protest, signed the date. So it's, all this stuff is political. We see they most of our people have these reactionary responses.
Wait a minute, back up, rewind. I want to make sure I heard this correctly.
They are setting the stage right now as we speak. And a lot of these Negro politicians have been knowing that they've been keeping it secret, that the college on the west side of Chicago that was changed because of some stance the members of the Black Panther Party took up in Chicago, Illinois, to up the end. His college's name in honor of Malcolm X, Malcolm X College. They are in the process and the stage of changing the name as we speak. We got forces right now putting them for 90 days of protest all the way up to Malcolm X, May 19th, Malcolm X's birthday. And now that we find out more, now that having these Negro politicians been up knowing about this way before. But I'm telling you, if we ain't clear, this system will malign and obliterate us from history. I'm talking, it's going to be bad. They're going to walk around asking if we ever even existed. I mean, they're taking away any symbolism. In the same spirit that Napoleon, they came to the French, they had a 21 gun salute. They kept on shooting the nose of the people or the face off. Now, they don't want no history of us, no examples of our people. And they knock us off, and then they raise up the runts, they raise up the punks, and they say, I ain't no copy, no pleas with these individuals. Well, maybe they don't know. They're going to learn today. Because, the state, they have a psychological profile on these individuals. They know who to grab for everything for these organizations, the entertainers, they know what they're doing. They knew Nikki Gavage, who had a Trinidad, who had a hatred for black men. They knew it. They raised her and they made her. They took her. As a matter of fact, she was going to contend with another little sister named Lil Mama, who, you know, said, who had more respect for, you know, for black people. And they ran Nikki Gavage because she was the more palatable one. That's what they do. In our movements, they knock off a certain individual and they raise up the more palatable one, the more they can go along with the program. And then we get caught up in we can't distinguish a clone from the real deal. We can't recognize liberation if it's real. And we get caught up in this liberalism. Well, it was around such and such and such and such. They do it with the Black Panther Party. You go to some of these events, they don't raise up these punks, the punks that happen to be around the party. Well, you know what I'm saying? Who made it come, you know what I'm saying, come through for a day or two. You know what I'm saying? We had a situation this past December 4th, 2013, where the University of Chicago created a whole organization called the Illinois History Project, and they raised these punks up to take over the legacy of Black Panther Party. And a lot of people want to be liberal. Well, listen, well, they mean well. No. They do not put it with any other organization, any other nationality, any other call to question. All of this is political. They hit us through the propaganda, through the media, you name it. You know what I'm saying? And again, it's not just limited to the music. All it's like bam, bam, bam. It's strategic. We gotta be consistent and call this question.
You know, all over the country, I'm starting to hear folks talk more about politicians and they're finally starting to kind of be disenfranchised about some of them.
Yeah, that's good.
It seems like people might be a little more ready now to, to take some further action and stop believing so much in this system, and certainly not these people that supposed to be representing them.
It's good, but the same. All the respect, a lot of times it'd be a reactionary response too. And the state, what they would do is they'll grab a certain charismatic individual, whatever, and they'll breathe life back into these different genres. You know, so whether it be electoral politics, whether it be the thing of hip hop. I believe let's go with the old dynamic of hip hop. People are becoming more and more clear on how this phenomenal genre, you know what I'm saying, that our people are expressing themselves with, you know what I'm saying, that was created, you know what I'm saying, the ghettos, you know what I'm saying, similar to that of rock and roll, jazz, you name it. And people were smelling, it was coming to grips with the whole hijacking of it. And, you know, and then it was comatose to say at least, if not like Rockcat said, it was a rap, all rap. And the whole thing with the Kendrick Lamar discussion was able to breathe life back into it. And as soon as that thing went down, you seen the Grammys. So many people start putting, okay, man, we're going to go, maybe get some more life into it. Because it became so trivialized. People were becoming so disenfranchised with the whole phenomenon. You know what I'm saying? That people, they're becoming so, as you just mentioned, disenfranchised, that they, you know what I'm saying, they come through, you know what I'm saying, and breathe life back in. As soon as they get to breathe life back in, they came through, and you see what happened to the Grammys with the whole thing with the music thing. I mean, man, it won an African represented, you know what I'm saying? Even them cats, they were so shocked. I had a rip up with that. I said, Kendrick Lamar might be still sitting inside the audience, still stuck. What happened? What just went down? And, you know, they led to a politics. Man, they have historically been able to, you know, smell the people have become disenfranchised and they grab a certain individual who's charismatic, you know, so to get people, you know, again, to put hope back into it. Because the deal is the system, it's bankrupt, you know what I'm saying? But again, our people will bring it back to life. You know, we got to come close to the fact that, no, any entity, any phenomenon, if it don't benefit the needs of the masses, it ain't happening. And that's what we got to come to grips with that. And recognize that these can be different tools of communication, whatever. But you know, and it's embarrassing to admit that we are oppressed. It's embarrassing to acknowledge you're oppressed. But the deal is, whatever entity, whatever we come up with, hip hop, rock and roll, jazz and blues, is a consistent effort. You know what I'm saying? As Malcolm said, and they can't stop it. That's their mission move. They say, let's stop it. When they say they can't stop it, they say, okay, let's co-opt it, water it down,
that's
change
right.
it, make something
that's
to be.
Right.
A lot of times we don't even see these different tactics coming up. You know what I'm saying? The rip up be happening. We don't even see it coming. You know what I'm saying? Like then the whole thing with the legacy of Public Enemy. You know, all of a sudden you see this show pop up with Slave or Slave. You know what I'm saying? And you be careful, years down the road, you're going to be debating with our grandchildren on what Public Enemy was about. You know what I'm saying? And the legacy of such different organizations. You know what I'm saying? They're ways up, you know, as opposed to Professor Griff, whatever. They're going to make sure they put Slave or Slave. You know, they're going to run them all over the TV. You dig? And this, we got to be able to acknowledge that we are oppressed, acknowledge that we're victims, but not become capitulate, but say, man, we won't just be victims, we're going to be fighting back victims. And even though certain things we don't have control of with the media outlets, they had a comedy one time, they were showing how, like, white people watch the news and how black people watch the news. We got to educate our babies, our people, that the way you watch the news, the way you hear conversations, the way you hear music, you just can't take it. You know what I'm saying, on face value. You know what I'm saying? You got to take it in context that, you know what I'm saying, that you have been and we continue to be oppressed, and that there's an attack on our lives, and that this government does not want any symbolisms of our people having self-determination. None.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want you to believe, even let alone the revolution in the revolutionary field, let alone the entertainment field. They don't want cats to even know that some black cats was making moves on their own in street activity and criminal activity. Everything you see with these guys, they looking up to some sort of, you know what I'm saying, the Italian mafioso. That's why you got these young brothers and sisters on the streets naming themselves, you know what I'm saying, John Gotti,
right.
You know, Al Capone, Luciano. They won't even let black cats can handle no images up, you know what I'm saying? I went to one of the brothers in Chicago. I said, you know, one thing I like that you at least name yourself Bobby Johnson. You know what I'm saying? Some identification with our people. Man, and that, you have a twisted, you know what I'm saying, a definition of, you know what I'm saying, you have people running around, you know what I'm saying, who trying to relate to foreign entities. You look at one of the videos with Nicki Minaj. You have to laugh and stop from crying. It's got her with this orange hair, and it got dark skin. I mean, dark skin. And you look and you say, this hair is on top of this girl. It's a contradiction. It don't even make sense. And it's to the point of you're either going to laugh or you're going to cry on what man, what they creating. You know what I'm talking about? This is, man, it's common. These people, I mean, morphing themselves, they hate their self-images. It's become common. And you got people trying to identify with a whole other nationality. It's like, man, running around, like some cats trying to bark. It's like cats trying to bark like dogs. You got our children up here, you know what I'm saying, man, and man, call himself everything. Go type on this and they have a piece on World Star Hip Hop, but they got black children in high school talking how much they hate dark skin people, how much they hate being black. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
Articulating this. And what their deal is children will articulate stuff that a lot of adults feel, but a lot of adults don't want to say it because they don't feel it's politically correct. They being honest with you. There's self-hatred. This is not the first, again, as we said about Lil Slave, this is not these individuals' first crime. Yeah, I mean, this is not Nicki Minaj's first crime, so that's what I'm saying. And we make it now. We are everybody, including myself. All of us got contradictions. When you start looking at the long list of criminal activities, these criminals. I mean, these are career criminals. So I ain't no approaching these chumps like, man, how can we help you? These chumps, they passed three-time offenders. Go look what she just said, because tennis is about black people. And you can't even take a casualty count. Why many black young girls in particular and black people who he has destroyed? These are literally propaganda bombs. Literally. Propaganda bombs. They have done so much damage. You know what I'm saying? They can't even take a count for them. If they were to do right, they couldn't even make up for the damage they done.
You know, it's very interesting that the top female artists today
for the most part, represent this whole look, this whole kind of thing. You know, Beyonce, for example. I mean, just a bunch of raunchy, kind of slutty stuff. That's what the top artists for the females pretty much are representing now. So, you know, again, I have to say to our sisters, what are we going to do? Because that's what it really comes down to at some point. I mean, all of our people have to get involved and say something, but the young girls need to see women, sisters, making some statements. So now, before we go back to our line, because we've got a couple of people and want to hear what our folks want to comment on and so forth, but Tim and Fred, you know, there's so much I want to talk to you about because I haven't talked with you in a while, but I'm telling you, brother, what are we going to do about some of this stuff? I mean, we've got to start shutting some stuff down. Now, the NAACP got some kind of awards coming up soon, I think. I'm saying at some point we're going to have to start planning on going to some of these things and really having a demonstration, a rally, or whatever, right outside front. They got all the media going on when they had these things. The media needs to see some of us saying this nonsense needs to stop. So I'm just putting it out here to folks.
I just want to, you know, I want to say not what we're going to do. We're going to start doing it. I mean, it's been so many forces, including yourself, that, you know, so this ain't, again, you mentioned earlier about the whole campaign by Lil Wayne. There was campaigns launched, you know, so just
right.
I want to make sure I put it preface it correctly that, you know, we're going to continue to do. And, you know what I'm saying? It's
right.
Important that people understand this stuff has been happening, even though the media, they don't want you to know this stuff has been happening.
Right.
And I don't want to mention
right.
So I'm hesitant on mentioning so many other forces and other organizations and people that have been consistently getting down one way or another on calling these shows into question. The reason I want to mention that because I'm scared I might forget some other forces, and I don't want to do that. But we just got to intensify the heat. You know what I'm saying?
Malcolm
X said, the collective consciousness, of the people ticks slowly, but it erupts the volcanic force that made Mount St. Helens look like nothing. So we got to, all I'm saying, we got to intensify the heat. We got to be consistent with this pressure. But again, there are so many forces. We must make sure we put in correctly. There are so many forces, and they call these chumps to question. We know. I can't tell many times we done ran up on stage on some of these chumps. I can't tell many times they not, you know, so they done canceled the events. Puffy calls their chump council come to Chicago before with their board of that garbage. You know what I'm saying? We done literally here. I mean, we're waiting up at the hotel room for that chump Russell Simmons calling the question. You name it. I mean, situation after situation you did. And hold them accountable. So all I want to do is just say, man, the code of culture. We said totally us insane for Texas. We talking about some bling. We want all your other organizations to adopt that, unify with us on that position. You know, and we want those who do what the repercussion for those who don't. And again, it's just our people. And understand the role that we play, because it's a strategic tactic that a lot of times this system, they hold up to these power pipers as our so-called leadership. This is a tactic that was employed in Rome. Rome was strategically grounded in the artists and the entertainers and athletes for a strategic type of purpose. They would increase the games, and they would bring the artists up as spokesperson. This is done, speaking of Malcolm X, this is, I've been just quoting Malcolm X today's interview, asked Malcolm X, well, Jackie Robinson disagrees with your position about violence. Malcolm X said, wait a minute. We don't hold up no Bob Hope or no Marilyn Monroe as your spokesperson. You know what I'm saying? Don't be holding the dude as our spokesperson. And it's the strategic. They will grab Jackie Robinson, who was so shook up by white folks, his wife, if he admitted, he said to go in the backyard every day and just hit golf balls. That's when we said to get back at white folks. And he don't say he done, you know, swallow his tongue and everything else all day. You know what I'm saying? These are individuals they raise up for us on Black History Month. You know what I'm saying? These Michael Jordan and Jackie Robinson, individuals who would stand up for nothing. For nothing. And we nothing to be liberal about. We don't want to speak about that in public. Man, them chumps, they kiss white folks down in public, call them out in public.
I know that's right.
All right, family. Well,
them chumps, they go back and pick cotton on white folks' tails all day long, and then you'll see then throughout February they raise them same punks and runs of that so-called leadership and spokesperson. Let's listen to what they say. You ask them. Listen to some interviews they say. They articulate, you know, city today. They don't refer to themselves. They don't consider themselves black. They just human or entertainers, whatever. They dodge the race question. But soon something happens for our people without resistance to happen. They bring these same punks and spokespersons. Don't be liberal with call. When they raise that chump puppy combs up and they voted that garbage, we told them punks. Ain't nothing happening. Ben Shaver's gonna come tell us, well, Puffy's not coming to Chicago. We say, so what? You the best we did. He might not call us before he stayed last and they voted that garbage. Call them punks the question.
I know that's right. Kelly, we want to remind all of you that the chat room is open. Please feel free to go there, post what you may want to share, or if you have a question or comment, please feel free to go there. I'm going to also go now back to our line if you have a question or comment. We're talking with, of course, Chairman Fred Hampton, Jr., and we're talking about several things. Of course, this Nicki Minaj thing. What do you all think about it? We've heard a couple of comments thus far. You certainly know what we think about it, Chairman Fred and myself. I want to know what you think. And also, about what we need to start doing. As Chairman Fred just said, we need to step it up, folks. We need to kind of up the ante and, make this thing a little bit stronger. So let's do this. Let's go to one of our callers. Caller, you're at 7940. We're going to open up your mic. You have a comment for us tonight, question, or something you'd like to share? 7940, your mic is open.
Yes, greetings in prison, everyone. I agree with Chairman because what is this happening? It's another form of social engineering, using our people to make a fool out of our people. And I agree with everything you said, Chairman, because those are the things, as Fred Hampton, those are the things that these Caucasians, instead of them doing it, they need our other people to do it. And they need the ones that's vulnerable and for money and want entertainment and want attention and want to feel powerful. And it's just like somebody trying to make you feel like they need them to use them for negative energy to keep our people down instead of positive in energy and taking a positive approach. And see, this girl ain't even thinking about the future of our people, but she don't know the same one is using her to keep our people oppressed and with that foolishness. And see, she do fine if she be saying something about we kings and queens and pharaohs and we was gods of the planet, ruling the planet. But see, they ain't going to want her to talk like that. They'll take her college away. And then these people thinking it's cool. She on TV talking about she got these three personalities. That ain't nothing but mind manipulation technologies playing on her head. And that Illuminati game, and they playing on her, and these Caucasians is homosexuals, and they not just that, they devil worshippers, and our people thinking that's entertainment. That ain't number evil spirits, and we are righteous by nature. So what I'm saying is I'm down with the fight with our people. Whoever is down with help saving who we are as original people, I'm down with the army. Thank you for allowing me to share.
All right, sister.
Hey, right on. Emphasis, I know I'm making a bounce out in a few minutes. Right on. And let's intensify the heat right on to the last caller. And, every venue, every genre, like I said, the Twitter, the social media, all the social media, the websites, man, we got calls to put these contradictions out there. It wouldn't surprise me at the NAACP award they have as a guest speaker, be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? Real talk. It would not surprise me. She gets the NAACP Image Award. They raise up. Look at the different awards. BET recent award. They grabbed individuals who are with disabled black people. I mean, literally. And they raise them up to, all of a sudden because it's Black Fest, and you're like, these people, they hate black folks. Where does this come from? The Ku Klux Klan probably jealous of most of them because they raise up and say, man, they hate black folks more than them. Yes, they do. They grab it. And what it does, it says this message to our communities. This is how you make it. Hate your people. Hate yourself. Have a, if soon as you get a few dollars, go get some surgery done. You know what I'm saying? Get any black features taken away from you. Napoleon ain't got to shoot nobody knows up no more. They got these cats going to the plastic shops left and right, trying to take away every African feature they can, anything associated with black folks, anything. Them probably got the bombs, got these babies out here trying to commit suicide one way or another, kill of any identity with themselves, their leadership, their people. This is sickness. You know what I'm saying? And ain't no cop and no pleas for these criminals. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these are criminal attacks. This punk Puffy Combs man had a record one time. He said, I'm in front of Harriet Tubman School talking to the children. Mm. What y'all want to do with y'all? What y'all want to do with y'all grow up? We want to be some parents, night daddy. I said, this is strategic. Mm. I said, you're going to listen to some of the lyrics that these punks be saying. I mean, they tell you their agenda, what they own. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no conspiracy. Ain't no secret. You know what I'm saying? Then they bring up some of these so-called conscious abstract artists. Well, no, they really don't mean that. They're telling you what they're saying. There ain't no ifs and buts and so's about this, yeah? Ain't no secret. They up front. They telling you. Listen to the words they be saying. Well, what's the boy Juicy J? He got so sorry. He the girl hard like Jeffrey Dahmer. Listen to the type of stuff that these children can listen to 9 o'clock in the morning. They feed these babies poison, and you wonder why they're toxic. Do a conference call. Call Detroit, Chicago, New York, and you watch all of the stuff these Clear Channel controlled Negroes is playing to these babies in 9 o'clock in the morning, before they come 9:15, they'd have been beat up, raped, shot, and killed, and you wonder why they out here shooting somebody else. Can't show me wonder why these little babies ain't turning to cannibals, what they done did to them.
You know, I'm sitting here going over, I'm looking at the website for the NAACP Image Award.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, what did I miss something here? So there's like this jazz group that's with mixed white and black people in it.
Oops.
That's part of, I'm confused.
No, they confused. Yeah. You know something wrong. You know something wrong with it. They don't want you. You know something wrong with it. No, yeah.
Okay, yeah. They've got Jennifer Hudson for her portrayal of Winnie Mandela. They've got
Winnie Mandela.
Goody
this is
Jr.
Your class.
Oh my goodness! Unbelievable.
It's Winnie Mandela. She couldn't tell you what's happening on the south side of Chicago. How's she going to portray Winnie Mandela in Africa? She couldn't tell you what's happening on the south side of Chicago. She couldn't tell you about that. And again, they strategically they grab these individuals. Yeah, but I'm not believing that. Take back the rules for love. I want to get back on everything you say. There's some other things I'm going to give you about even reading that rules.
Your phone. You're starting to muffle a little bit.
Okay, I was saying I have to leave off now. I want to come back online with you soon because there's a lot of updates
okay.
I want to give you, in particular about some stuff we just got word through the streets. There's some facilitators at the University of Chicago have put out how they want to deal with the channel if we have a junior problem. And I want to update the community about we just got word about that amongst other things. But revolutionary love, respect, and appreciation.
Go on next week.
Let's do it, Empress.
All right, my brother.
Right,
all right,
right
family, we've been talking to Cameron Fred.
To the callers, or three more.
All right, my brother, we'll get you back on next week. Okay, family, we were just talking with Cameron Fred, and as you can tell, he's in the street doing what he do out there in Cali, and we're going to get back with him a little later on, and wow. What can I say? I mean, this is just some crazy stuff. That's all I can really say. But not so crazy that we can't deal with it, and certainly we're going to. So we want you to stay tuned for that, family, because we got a lot of work ahead of us, and we're certainly up for it. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to probably hear something from
El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. But before we do that, I want to ask you a question. We were hoping to get Doc Johnson on tonight, and we will probably wait until later on this week because we are getting ready again to move forward with our national campaign for justice for Private First Class Lavina Johnson. And what the Johnson family has requested is that there be congressional hearings. So we want to know what you all think about that as well, and certainly we want to tell you more about the national campaign for the elimination of violence and abuse of women and girls of African descent. We are now ready to move forward with that as well. But for right now, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to give you more information, more inspiration here at New Day, Resurrection and Liberation.
We're not Americans. We are people who formerly were Africans who were kidnapped and brought to America. Our forefathers weren't the pilgrims. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. The rocks were landed on us. Here against our will. We were not brought here to be made citizens. We were not brought here to enjoy the constitutional gifts that they speak so beautifully about today. Because we weren't brought here to be made citizens today, now that we've become awakened to some degree and we begin to ask for those things which they say are supposedly for Americans, they look upon us with hostility and unfriendliness. If you're interested in freedom, you need some judo, you need some karate, you need all the things that will help you fight for freedom. Nationalism is the wave of the present and the future. It is nationalism that's bringing freedom to oppressed people all over the world. It was nationalism that brought freedom to the Algerians. It was nationalism that brought freedom to the Nigerians and to the Ghanaians. It was nationalism that brought freedom to the people of Uganda and Tanganyika and Sudan and Somaliland. The Africans didn't get it by sitting in. They didn't get it by wading in. They didn't get it by singing We Shall Overcome. They got it through nationalism. And you and I will get it through nationalism. What is it? What is it that makes it difficult for the philosophy of nationalism to spread among the so-called Negroes? Number one, they think they have a stake in America. They think they have an investment in this country. What we do? We invested 310 years of slave labor. 310 years, every day of which, your and my mother and father worked for nothing. Not 8 hours a day. There was no union in that day. They worked from sun up until sundown, from can't see in the morning until can't see at night. They never had a day off. And on Sunday, they were allowed to sit down and sing about when they died, they wouldn't be slaves no more. When they died, they wouldn't be slaves no more. They'd go up in the sky, and every day would be Sunday. That's a shame. And it is that 310 years of slave labor that went in that was my and your contribution into this particular economy and political system. They can give us the best day. Let's join in. If this is what the Negro wants, let's join him. Let's show him how to struggle. Let's show him how to fight. Let's show him how to bring about a real revolution. Let's make him stop dying. You don't need a debate. You don't need a filibuster. You need some action.
And again, we'd like to thank Chairman Freya Hampton for taking the time to call in tonight. And, of course, he is a living legend himself. And certainly we remember the incredible contribution and work that his father and mother made for the liberation of our people. I want to thank all of you for tuning in, too. And we're going to continue our program tonight. I want to go back for a moment and go to the question about what we need to do. So we want to kind of raise that issue back with you again. And we'll again remind you that the chat room is, of course, open. If you have any comments or questions, you can also post there as well. Okay, I'm going to go back to Sister Gloria, if she's still there with us, and just kind of ask her a question, and we still have Sister Amy on as well, and that is, Sister, do you have any suggestions as women, as sisters, what do you think we can do to at least draw greater attention to the fact that there are black women who are totally opposed to this Nicki Minaj thing? What is it that you think that we should do, sisters? Sister Gloria, Sister Amy, your mics are both open.
Well, I feel that if we're going to talk the talk, we're going to have to walk the walk. Now, I had a girls group called Girl Talk, HIV/AIDS Prevention, and I ran it for a year. And the girls were, see, this is a topic we would have discussed, you know, in our girl talk. Mm-hmm. So my dream was to, well, the vision that the Creator gave to me, I never got up and wrote down a dream I've had, but I was compelled to write down everything I saw. And I just, you know, would go over this paper day after day, like, what is it? And so finally I put it together, Girl Talk. And mm-hmm. we did a lot of things. Instead of, you know, we want them to turn the television off. So what do you give them instead of, you
right.
know, the television? And I think what we should do collectively is perhaps come up with a few African games or, you know, games of, you know, if you know who was buried in King's tomb, you can move two spaces.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we have to take, you know, to say that the young people don't know about Malcolm X. Well, who's discussing mm-hmm. Malcolm X? Are you mm-hmm. expecting the teacher to do it? You know, you have to. It has to be at home or in the community. And until we recognize that COINTELPRO is hard on us, I mean, we have to come together collectively. And we don't want it anymore. We know what you're doing. And we're not having it.
Okay, now that sounds good for, you know, for a future or for something down the road. But is there anything you think we can do now, especially as it pertains to this one particular female, Nicki Minaj? Now, Sister Amy, your mic is also open. And, again, family, if you have a comment or something you'd like to share with us, you can press 1 now. We're going to bring Chairman Fred back next week because we want to talk to Chairman Fred about some other issues because he's one of our brothers. And, you know, we always are very appreciative and thankful for real black men that stand up for black women. And so, you know, we're going to bring him on next week along with a few other brothers because in June there's going to be a major event that the Men and Women Movement here in Philadelphia will be hosting, and it's going to be for and of serious, strong black men who really represent and are doing some serious work. We're going to have them to come together. So we're going to be giving you more information about that very soon. But we're looking to salute our brother, our attorney at war, Austin Maddox is one of them. And this will be coming up in June, along with several other really strong, positive, and powerful black men who really love black women. Don't just talk the talk about how much we the queen
right.
and all of that. You know, we're talking about, did you hear that so much? And these men be hating. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to tell you about one of them in particular in the very near future. But it is so interesting to hear the yak about how much they love black women. But for real, when you really look to see, well, what are you doing to really help our sisters to move forward? The answer to that, because at best. Okay. But anyway, let's go back to Sister Amy, and we're going to raise the question again. What can we as women do to make our statement right now in regards to this female that they call Nicki Minaj? How can we allow our communities at large and our young girls know that there are some serious black women, of course, saying, no, sister, this is not the way. This is not it. And if you don't believe us right now, that's okay, but we're going to still say it anyway. What do you think we should do now?
Right. One of the things, when I was a child and my mother taught me my culture, and anything that I did not do that she, it wasn't a part of my upbringing, it was removed out of my life as a child. So one of the things my mother didn't allow us to do, we had to play in our own yard, and we couldn't play with other children with bad influence. So what am I saying is we have to let our children know, identify that as bad influence to try to say that's who we are. Those who are paying this sister, this girl, because she's not acting like a sister, she's acting like a puppet for the Caucasian to belittle us and to keep us in a slave mentality. What do a slave do? A slave is not one who believes that they can rise up out of poverty, oppression, or depression. So what they're using this girl to do is to make a black woman appear like she's delusional, she has something going on inside her mind. She's not an educated sister. She has no power. She can use her body for influence. She can use her sexuality to have her way. Anything but to show that sister has some type of sense in her mind that shows her sister, other sisters, that she's powerful.
One of the things people have to do, stop buying this girl's music. Stop watching her on YouTube. Get her out of sight, out of mind, because she's not a positive influence for our children, our young girls coming up. She will be one that people can continue to take these Caucasians and other cultures, continue to take advantage of our people, because they looking at us as a dumbfounded sex slave or some type of female wagging her tail, want to be sniffed under or something to that degree. It's a form of lowering the black woman down to nothing, as if she don't have no sense. And when Nicki Minaj was talking about on TV, she had these three personalities. Them Caucasians didn't see nothing wrong with that and talk about, and then Beyonce saying the same thing. Now, if anybody know, in these Caucasians' book, they call that mentally ill. But it's okay when they can make a fool out of people. So it's as long as she do those types of things and make a fool out of our people, like we got problems or we don't know nothing but to use our bodies to make it. What about the great women in our culture who was athletes and Megan and Venus and Serena? And even I see the change with them. They are not really talking about Venus and Serena's father, who had homeschooled his children and wouldn't allow his children to be going to school in the public schools, and them girls became great women. But I'm seeing a change that they ain't really want to use them sisters as a icon for our people. So we got to look at what's going on, because I remember when Venus and Serena, they was in their braids and their beads and all that, the African style. Now they are in these weaves and they changing too.
That's
so
right.
The thing is, you got to look at when we get around this so-called Hollywood or in this so-called entertainment industry, what happens to our culture? Why are you letting these Caucasians make a fool out of you for money? That ain't no different than a pimp got a hoe and could make a fool out of in front of the people in public. And she's being made a fool out of by these Jewish descendants who's running Hollywood to make her as one of those coons, black coons. Because if you know any history about the comic books, they had the comic books where they always made a fool out of black Sambos or something. But instead of doing that now, because our people, even the restaurant Denny's used to be called Sambos, our people got together. Them Caucasians changed their name because we knew what Sambos was about. So we got to also go up against our people like we going up against these Caucasians. We got to go up against the house niggas who get in the house, the house of the so-called slave masters, and then they want to act like they done made it and make a fool out of our people. We got to separate ourselves from these people. We shouldn't identify ourselves with them or have anything to do with them, because we already know, we already fighting for what these Caucasians have done to us already with as the black struggle. They always want to find ways to dismantle us, and their greatest weapon is to use our people to make a fool out of us or do something that's working against us. Them is their greatest
right.
weapon. So when
well,
you
sister,
see
thank
these
you.
Things, you gotta come together and say, we don't want our children to buy this music, and we also don't want our children to watch them on YouTube. So me, myself, I don't watch that stuff because I know them people ain't who I am. They puppets. Thank you for letting me
share. Well, and thank you, sister. And I just want to say, all of what you all have said is right on point. I think the next step, though, is what really has to now go in place, you know, about a lot of the things that should happen. But
the reality of it is, and you, of course, Sister Amy, are not one of these people, but people oftentimes talk about the things that should happen, but yet the support that they give to it is minimum at best. They talk. And I'm finding nowadays you got all these people who do all this research and go to different lectures and so forth and so on, but when you really look at what it is they're trying to build to actually have for us as a people that's independent, then it becomes very interesting. So we're going to be talking more about that as we go into the rest of this year so that we can begin to identify who is really who and what is really what. Now, with that said, before we close out for tonight, we want to remind you that the call has gone out to black veterans, both men and women, black veterans who want to stand up. We have a group that's now being formed nationwide called Black Veterans for Justice. And this group now has a telephone conference call that it is going to be having every week to organize black veterans nationwide to connect with some of the groups that are already existing, to get ready to deal with some of these issues of homelessness, of the lack of employment, the various physical and mental disabilities, and just outright racism that has been launched upon them while they were serving. We're going to now make certain that we connect our pieces as a family. And so, again, if any of you know of a veteran who needs brotherhood, sisterhood, support, then a group under the Male Women Movement umbrella is being formed, Veterans for Justice, Black Veterans for Justice. They got some plans coming up. They're going to be very supportive to the Johnson family, for Sister Private First Class Lavina Johnson, in helping to get congressional hearings for the rape and other sexual assault in the military. The Johnson family is pushing forward for congressional hearings nationwide. We're going to be telling you more about that this week as well. I want to also remind you that tomorrow, if you're in the Philadelphia area, we begin to put our Little Sisters program together. If you have a young sister from 7 to 17 that dance, sings, is an actress, is a writer, a designer, she now has somewhere that she can come to place those talents and to move forward. Our Little Sisters Talent Search has been launched, and they can come out to the Sun High City Cultural Center tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock to get their applications and information, because for October, for our Million Women March Week, we'll be showcasing our Little Sisters, poetry, spoken word, drama, all types of performing and visual arts. Because, see, tonight we're talking about this Nicki Minaj. How are we going to prevent Nicki Minajes? Or what is it that we can do to begin to interact with these young daughters in such a way that we can help nurture their talent and nurture their young sisterhood? Well, we figure some of that out. And while some people talk about what should happen, we now have the motions and the operations to make it happen. So we can't make people come. We ain't trying to. But we're responsible enough to at least make certain that you have it available. And so tomorrow, again, starting at 2 o'clock, you can come out to the Sun High City Cultural Center. And if you have a young sister who, or a young daughter or a niece or granddaughter who likes to sing, who likes to dance, and wants to do it well and wants to perform for our community, well, we have exactly what she needs. So, again, tomorrow, 2 o'clock, 3117 Master Street, Sun High City Cultural Center. I'll play last announcement, and then we're going to get ready to close out for the evening. Tomorrow night, we have Sister Pam Africa joining us. She's going to give us, of course, an update on Mumia Abu-Jamal, but also she's going to give us a really powerful report on the firing of Dr. Tony Monterio and what's going on with the African-American studies here in Philly at Temple University. It's more than what's being told, and guess what? It's getting ready to be told. Tune in tomorrow, 10:30. Sister Pam Africa will be joining us. Then on Sunday, We close out with our final three-part series with Dr. Muhammad Ahmed, who's the founder of RAM, Revolutionary Action Movement, and the Black Guard, who, of course, provided security for Malcolm X. And as it turns out, my daughter's father, and these are some things that I'm just beginning to learn, my daughter's father was the president of the OAU here in Philadelphia, Malcolm X's organization when he left the Nation of Islam. I'm going to tell you more about that as well, because we're going to be doing a documentary on Dawood Hakim. And Hakim's bookstore is one of the oldest black bookstores in the country. Unfortunately, when Dawood passed, because a lot of the legal stuff was not in place, now the store in itself is falling apart. However, now the other side of the family will be picking up that mantle, and you can look forward to a new Hakim's bookstore coming in the very near future. We'll be telling you more about that as we proceed as well. But right now we're going to get ready to close out, and we want to remind you that we've done our tribute tonight, and we're going to continue later on through the week focusing on El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. Again, on Sunday when we talk with Dr. Muhammad Ahmed, he's going to tell you about when he was right here in Philadelphia and, you know, and actually was at the mosque here in Philadelphia for a while. And then, of course, afterwards did become a member of RAM. We're going to give you more information about that. And let's see, some other things, too. So stay tuned all week long. Oh, and next week, have another special edition. We just found out, again, the history just keeps coming. Lift Every Voice and Sing. Wow. You know, we were always so proud about singing that song. Well, family, I hate to tell y'all, we got some news for you. On Wednesday, we're going to tell you about that. We're going to be talking with the brother who is the historian for the UNIA, the national body. He's going to be joining us on Wednesday. He's going to give you some information about Lift Every Voice and Sing. Unfortunately, it's not exactly all that you might think it is. But we need to know the truth about things. So for those who are not afraid of the truth, then New Day, Resurrection, Liberation is the program for you. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, and as we leave out, we're going to leave out with El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. We're going to continue also later on this week. We're giving you more information about Nina Simone and others. Today is her Earth Day, and we will be paying tribute to her in May because she is one of our sister saints, and May is her year, I mean her month of transition, along with Queen Mother Moore as well. We're going to be telling you more about that, too. But for right now, we're going to close out this segment. Tomorrow we have our regular program, 10:30, because we'll be joining us. Until then, family, we thank all of you again for tuning in, and we hope that you will join us tomorrow and Sunday and later on in the week. But for now, again, we thank you, and we're going to leave out tonight with none other than Malcolm X on this day of his assassination.
As far as I'm concerned, it's my legal name. And then the court to establish, I didn't have to go to court to be called Murphy or Jones or Smith. Excuse me for answering you this way.
That's all right.
A Chinese person were to say his name was Patrick Murphy, you would look at him like he's insane. Murphy is an Irish name, a European name, or the name that has a Caucasian or a white background. And a yellow person, Chinese is a yellow man, and he has nothing to do or no connection whatsoever with the name Murphy. And if it doesn't look proper for a person who is yellow or Chinese to be walking around named Murphy or Jones or Johnson or Bunch or Powell, I think it would be just as improper for a black person or the so-called Negro in this country, as we're taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to walk around with these names. And therefore, he teaches us that during slavery, the same slave master who owned us put his last name on us to denote that we were his property. But when you see a Negro today who's named Johnson, if you go back in his history, you'll find that he was once his grandfather or one of his forefathers was owned by a white man who was named Johnson. His name is Bunch. His grandfather was owned by a white man
point
that was named Bunch.
Would you mind telling me what your father's last name was?
My father didn't know his last name. My father got his last name from his grandfather, and his grandfather got it from his grandfather, who got it from the slave master. The real names of our people were destroyed.
Was there any line any point in the genealogy of your family when you did have to use the last name? And if so, what was it?
The last name of my forefathers was taken from them when they were brought to America and made slaves. And then the name of the slave master was given, which we refuse. We reject that name today.
You won't even tell me what your father's supposed last name was or gifted last name was?
I never acknowledge it whatsoever.
Let me ask you about the status of Elijah Muhammad. First of all, is he ill?
I spoke to him today. He's in better health than he has been. He's suffering from asthmatic bronchitis.
Is that why he didn't attend your rally on last Tuesday?
The only reason that he didn't attend was his ill condition. And the weather here, especially on that particular day, was of such nature that it would have been almost insane for him to come.
Well, now, did you hold that meeting last Tuesday because it coincided with the general election, the primary election?
I think if you study the history of Mr. Muhammad's work and religious work in this country, we've had our convention on February the 26th every year for, I think, the past 33 years.
Well, now, while you don't care to discuss your former name or the name that the slave master gave to your antecedents, it is a matter of record that Muhammad's last name was Poole, Elijah Poole.
No, that's the name that his slave master gave to his grandfather or great-grandfather. That's not his name.
Well, his mother and father thought when they called him Elijah Poole that that was his name.
They didn't know any better.
Well, if they didn't know any better or not, they thought that was his name.
Yes, sir, but sir...
What I'm trying to find out is when did he cease to be Elijah Poole and get to be Elijah Muhammad?
In 1931, I think it was, in Detroit, he was taught the true history of our people and made aware at that time that he was wearing an English name, and by not being an Englishman, he looked out of place. And his teacher gave him the name that he's wearing today, Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad.
All right, now when did he become what he purports to be in your literature, the son of Allah?
I've never heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad referred to as the son
the
of Allah.
The prophet of Allah.
I've never heard him referred to as the prophet of Allah.
What do you refer to him as?
Messenger of Allah.
All right, the messenger of Allah, and I appreciate the correction.
Yes, I mean, he says that a prophet is somebody who predicts the future, and he's not predicting the future, whereas a messenger is someone who carries a message that has been given to him by one who authors that message.
Well, now, who gave him the message, and to whom is it supposed to be delivered?
Master W.F. Muhammad, the one who taught him, is the author of the message. He gave it to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which makes him the messenger. And he's to deliver that message of truth and righteousness to the 20 million American so-called Negroes, which means something true.